On today's episode of Talkin' Tom, we're heading out into international waters with the movie Captain Phillips, starring the captain of my heart, Tom Hanks.
Captain Phillips is a 2013 American biographical drama thriller film directed by Paul Greengrass, based on the book A Captain's Duty by Richard Phillips.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Aye, aye, Captain.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
What's up, Hanks heads? Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Tom, the Pod Hanks Tomcast, where we watch Tom Hanks movies and then we talk about them. My name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
And today we watched a movie called Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips.
Oh my god.
Okay. Have you ever seen this before?
Yes, I have.
Oh, really?
Surprisingly, out of all the, I never see Tom Hanks movies.
Did you see it in a theater?
Yes, I saw it in theater in college.
Same.
Yeah. Really?
2013? 2013? 12?
Yeah, it was 2013 because it was the 2014 Academy Awards.
Okay.
I think.
That I believe.
But, you know what's kind of funny? I remember when this movie came out, it was like right when I was realizing that I'm like pretty obsessed with Tom Hanks. And I remember I posted a Facebook status like going to see my boyfriend in his new movie or something. And so stupid. And this person commented on it and was like, who's your boyfriend? Like, didn't get it. Anyway,
you should have just played that up and
yeah, it was like forever. His name's Tom Hanks. You ever heard of him? He's married.
That I saw this in a theater with my my buddy, and we to be completely confessional, we snuck into it. We did like a day of like three or four movies before MoviePass and A-List. We
right.
were poor college kids, and so we'd go see one of them, maybe we'd see a few others.
Okay.
Hypothetically, if that, you know.
Allegedly.
but when we got in there, no one was there. So we sat there, and then we had a realization that no one's paid for a ticket. If no one's gotten a ticket, are they gonna will they start the movie? And so an employee came in and like looked in like a clipboard and like looked in and was like, oh, and then just like walked out. And then we were like, maybe we should leave. And then like 30 seconds later, the movie started.
Oh,
so we got through it, but I wonder, like, oh, we're
so
caught.
What would they do if they caught you sneaking?
I think
in?
Just kick us out.
Yeah,
or be so like, if you have to buy a ticket,
we might like go one. To jail or something.
I don't.
Can they like detain you?
Maybe. In this hypothetical world
right.
of what I've just said, this fictional character did. Yeah. Maybe.
That's nuts.
I haven't done it since.
Good.
Well, not in the last 5 years.
Okay.
Nor did I do it then. Hypothetical.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw two movies in one day last week.
Wow.
I saw, what is it called? Bombshell and Little Women.
I've been on a... Have you made your best of last year list?
I don't do it like you do it. Okay. I mean, it's That's mostly fair. Just like Little Women.
Yeah. This we can just make this a Little Women podcast.
Yeah, that might be good.
I'm all about...
It was so
good.
Oh my
gosh, amazing.
Comforting. Just a comforting movie.
Tom Hanks could have been the dad.
Yeah.
One
Who
mistake.
Was the main guy? Who was the guy?
Bob Odenkirk.
That was such a surprise.
Yeah, if that's supposed to be a surprise, sorry.
Yeah.
I hope everyone saw it. This will be a little while.
Anyway.
Out. Yeah. Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips.
Well, firstly, how are you?
I'm awesome. This is the first episode we're recording in 2020.
In the actual movie, yes, because we goofed before.
Yeah. So two episodes have already come out, but...
Yes.
Okay.
So now you're actually back from the UK.
Yes, I'm back from London.
And you had a lovely time, so I heard.
Had such a good time. I drank so much tea, and I got to have a spiritual awakening that I had planned for. So, and that's the best way to have one.
How is traveling alone?
Fucking cool as shit, man.
I feel like it's gotta be so, like, liberating and just... there's no schedule?
No schedule.
Yeah.
So I could just... Like, something that I didn't want to struggle with, but I unfortunately did, was jet lag, obviously. And it's really... I can be, like, really hard on myself if I feel like I'm not following the rules of, like, how I should be doing things. Mm-hmm. So everyone kept saying, like, don't go to bed when you get there. Try to stay up until, like, normal bedtime, even though it was, like, 2 a.m. my time or something when I landed and I didn't sleep on the plane. Like, I was so tired and I also got really sick while I was there. You know this, but... finally was just like, I stayed up till 6 and I was like, that's good enough. I can just go to bed. And like, no one else could be there and be like, oh my God, we came all this way and you're going to go to bed right now. Or,
you just gotta, what are your three favorite moments?
Okay. I loved the time that I spent in Brighton, which is a little seaside town that you recommended to me where you and Rachel got engaged.
Yes.
And I like basically copied your whole trip. I like stayed in the same hotel as you. Like ate at the same restaurants and stuff. That was perfect. That was just like such, I felt so at peace while I was there. And next favorite moment was Christmas Day. I had a flat that I rented in Notting Hill and I walked around Portobello Road. It was like totally empty on Christmas. I just like took a walk, got like deliciously lost, like didn't know where the fuck I was, and I just didn't matter. And then eating at Dishoom, which is the Indian restaurant that you recommended.
It haunts my dreams.
Oh, it's so good. Oh my gosh. We should make a food podcast.
Yeah, it's just Dishoom.
Oh my God. It was so good. I could eat there like every meal.
The Christmas thing I can't comprehend. That just seems like the most, like if, in terms of like movie worlds, Christmas in the UK.
Yeah.
It seems like the dream.
Yeah. Oh, I had high tea on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
That was really, it was perfect. Cool. Very expensive. I had to work really hard to be able to afford that for myself, but it was worth every single penny and probably one of the best things I've ever done for myself.
Okay. That's highly a very recommend. Strong start to this podcast.
Yeah. If you're able to get out and do stuff by yourself.
Yeah.
Not just you specifically, but the proverbial. Also. It's an incredible gift to give yourself.
Dang. All right.
Yeah. How was your Christmas?
Christmas was good. Went to Oklahoma. Kevin came with me to Oklahoma.
Oh.
Had a great time. My parents have like a 60-ish pound pit bull and they were like best friends and wore each other out and saw my friends. And it was 70 degrees. It was hotter in Oklahoma than it was in California for Christmas. So.
Oh, shit, man.
But everything's fine. Everything's fine in the world.
Yeah.
But it was lovely. It was pretty. It was a nice little Christmas.
Cute.
Family, friends, blah, blah, blah.
And then New Year's?
New Year's, what did I do for New Year's? We just hung out with some people.
Cute.
Low key.
Yeah, easy peasy.
It's nice. I'm not a huge crowd person anymore.
Me either. I told everyone that I had plans and then I stayed at my apartment by
myself. That's a great idea. Because then they don't try and get you. They're just like, I have something.
I'm already doing something.
Yeah, I don't know when it happened, but I...
It's the most overrated. It's so dumb.
Yeah, I just can't... I like to talk and...
Mm-hmm. I went to bed at 10 p.m.
Wow. I did stay up. And then immediately after.
I lit some shit on fire.
That's
like
cool.
As like a witch, like ritual thing. I'm a witch now. I'm not a witch, I wish. But I did do some like intentional like manifesting.
Prep for the new year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well.
So tell me, what were the circumstances of you watching Captain Phillips?
It was here. Rachel had never seen it.
And really?
It was one of the ones she was like, I'd like to watch that.
A cutie.
And, her review is she was sending some thank you notes.
Okay.
In the beginning. And then by like 20 minutes in, she was just locked in, stressing.
Yeah.
And she stressed the whole movie. Loved it, so.
I watched it a couple days ago, and, the girl that I live with came downstairs. We were 20 minutes in. I was like, do you want to watch this? I can give you a quick rundown. And then we both were like, our hearts are racing.
It's a
really high stakes movie, man.
Yeah.
I don't remember feeling that anxious when I saw it in theaters.
I guess it's been a while now. So I remember being anxious, but it did seem like elevated. Even though I know this, I mean, I knew what happened because it was a real thing.
Yeah.
Then I knew what happened more so because I'd already seen it.
Because you'd already seen it. So for those of us who haven't seen it, please summarize the movie.
Oh, the film Captain Phillips. It's actually based on a real story.
That's nuts.
It's about a man named Richard Phillips, who is a captain, and he is, he is flying to, he's taking a ship from Oman to Mombasa in Kenya, and the ship he's taking is full of containers that have like, it's all like containers that have like food and not like interesting stuff, just stuff. But he's going through a territory off the Horn of Africa that has issues with pirates. So they're prepped for pirates, but it's always sort of like, what would happen if pirates came? And they do. Pirates commandeer their ship and take people hostage, and Captain Phillips has to sort of outwit them, and he ends up on a lifeboat with the pirates.
Yeah, he gets taken hostage.
Yeah, and then the United States Navy and the SEALs get involved, and it becomes sort of this showdown between them and the pirates, but also Phillips in the middle of it all trying to kind of be a mediator, because he wants to get alive, but at the same time he also like doesn't want them killed.
Yeah.
And that's Captain Phillips.
It's nuts.
It's very nuts.
And it's crazy thinking that it's a true story.
Yeah. I think that's what the elevated, the true to life thing really puts some extra. You're like, oh, someone went through this. And that sounds awful.
I love those types of movies that are like survival types. I'm sure I've said this before on the show, where it's like you see real humans in like scenarios where they have to just like keep themselves safe or like do. It's just, it's so interesting to see that the boat had so many things, protocols for if this happened, and then also so many things that they didn't have.
Yeah, because I think it's sort of the thing of like you prep for it, but then like you're like, ah, will it happen?
Yeah.
So then it does, and suddenly you realize maybe your prep wasn't enough because you only took it half seriously.
Yeah.
Rachel's most common phrase that she would scream during it was, he's so smart.
He's so smart. That's really funny.
Just every time he would do something, like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, like when he's talking in the walkie-talkie and pretending that he's the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
So smart.
Keeping it on so the crewmates can hear what he's going to do with the
pirates. Oh my God, right. Like we're going to start top to bottom on the ship.
She was like, well, he's that smart in real life? And I was like, I assume, maybe?
That's so nuts. Yeah. It's so good. So cool. So the pirates probably... Okay. I forget like how we do this show. We assume everyone's seen the movie, so we're just talking about
the movie, right? We don't need to, like... If you haven't seen it, turn it off now, I guess.
Go watch the movie.
Yeah. It's a real story, so if you know, it's still completely functional. Read the book it's based on.
Yeah. So they have these hoses. Is that what the muster stations are?
I think so.
So if they had all been working properly and that one hadn't broken, would the pirates have ever been able to get on the ship?
I think they could have. They're mostly a deterrent. It makes things really difficult because it floods your boat.
Yeah.
They're trying to like latch a lat. They're on these little tiny boats, these like skiffs, and they're trying to put ladders onto the boat to get onto it. But there's these huge hoses.
And are those use like ocean water?
I think so. I think it's just funneling water. Because they can't. They're unarmed. I don't know the. I was trying to look up the rules, but there's a reason that like American ships through foreign territories, they can't just have military like people on board. Ships. Yeah, because it's unarmed container ships, so they can't have weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
So that immediately puts, and you know that, so that immediately puts you at odds with, okay, so they're immediately outgunned.
They're totally in a, yeah.
So all of their methodology has to be like Home Alone style. Like
it was. It was like Home Alone on international waters.
And this is another example of Tom Hanks working for a company that gets him into trouble when he flies over water.
He can't help it.
Yeah, he's got to stop. He's not.
I did like the character of Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
So the foil to Captain Phillips is Muse.
I believe so. Yes.
Who is a Somali pirate, and his story is kind of interesting. I don't know about you, but while I was watching the movie, I started to like. I liked him.
Yeah, they do an interesting thing where you spend a lot of time with the pirates before the initial hijacking and then during, and they really try and to some degree humanize them.
Uh-huh.
I don't think totally successfully.
Right.
But they, well, especially with the main pirate leader, mm-hmm. You like get to kind of know who they are and like the circumstances they're coming from.
Right.
To add some sort of like, because they don't, I think the Paul Greengrass, the director, didn't want to just have villains. Like they're still people.
Yeah.
And there's a reason what they've come from and sort of their circumstances of why they're doing this.
Yeah.
Why it's risky. And there's like a kid, there's basically like a teenager with them. Ugh. That's kind of just these layered things of like bad situation. So they give you a little bit of that too, kind of add some stakes, emotional stakes to things. Because then that last half of the movie you spend in the lifeboat with them and Captain Phillips. So you need that. Otherwise, it's just Captain Phillips kind of
being held hostage, trapped. It's Muse, I think that's his name. I'm just going to keep calling him that. He it's interesting thinking about, like, him just being kind of like a victim of circumstance. Like, he's only doing this because he feels like he has to in order to prove his worth at home.
Yeah. When he seems, there's like threats too, and
yeah, he kills a guy.
Yeah.
And that's how he proves that he can be the captain and, like, the one in charge. It's just really interesting, all of it. And you realize he even realizes, like, if I don't get this job taken care of, I'm dead. Like, I have to see this through to the end. Even though he's, like, fighting an uphill battle, it's like, after the two Navy ships show up, it's like, dude. Yeah,
they play it, because it's weird, if this weren't based on a real thing, if it were fictionalized, I would almost think it wasn't doing a great job, because there's sort of like every chance for them to get away, you'd be like, why don't they take it? But they do build this idea of like there really isn't a choice. Ugh. And I just looked it up. It's Musa.
Musa. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Because I don't remember if it's spoken very many times.
They say it once. Okay. Like one person says it, but it's always, it looks like Muse. But, yeah. Okay. Musa.
It definitely adds a layer to things, because it's not just this easy cut and dry hero villain thing. I mean, it is still, like, Captain Phillips is very clearly, and they're bad and do bad things, but it tries to add a kind of layer that I like.
You can at least see their motives, at least, rather than, And I felt very sad when all those people died at the end. That was hard.
They build up things so much that when it happens, it doesn't feel like just an you don't just root that he's been saved. There's like a little more to it.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, like this is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some like standout scenes for you in this movie?
I think it's really interesting. Well, the first thing I thought was interesting is the opening, because you have the actress, is it Catherine Keener?
His wife. Okay.
I think she's in the movie for 2 minutes. So I'm always taken when there's a kind of a bigger named person that I recognize being used for such like a seemingly insequential role.
Okay.
I think sort of I was trying to kind of gauge what I thought the point of that was. And it seems to me that you need to see like their sort of mundane but happy lifestyle, but there's still stress and they still have to work and this and that, so that you have kind of the stakes of why you care about him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting to start him at home rather than to start him
just going on the ship. Yeah, because you want to see that he's like a family man too. I guess. Wait, so what did you think about him lying to his wife about it just being a normal day at sea?
Rachel and I had to talk about that.
That's so interesting,
because I was like, for both of us, like, would we want to know if something was happening and the outcome was uncertain and there was nothing that could be done on either end?
Okay.
Would you want to know as it was happening, or would you rather not?
Uh-huh.
And I think Rachel said she would want to know.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think I said kind of the same. Like, I'd almost like to not know, but at the same time, like, I would think I would be mad later if I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It's so tough. But think about that poor wife. Yeah. He sends an email like, I'm totally fine. And then the next day you get a fucking Coast Guard alert.
Yeah.
That your husband's being held hostage.
I'm assuming because he sends it after the first failed attempt.
Yes. But he knows they're coming back.
Yeah.
He knows
two ships. That's tough. Especially since it had failed and he has confidence that it would work again. I want to say, like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Like, I'd be like, hey, we got attacked by pirates last night, but we're cool. Hope it doesn't happen tomorrow.
It almost feels, like, selfish to not tell. Yeah. It feels like,
like, this ends a, but we haven't seen them fight or anything, so we're not quite sure why, but it does. It feels like,
mm-hmm.
I don't, like, he's, like, almost, like, being a good, like, I don't want you to worry her.
Yeah. I love her so much. Yeah, fuck off.
But if your last email exchange is that.
Yeah, him being like, I'm fine, don't worry. Yeah. It just feels like,
I think I'd need to know.
I think so too. I promise I'll let you know personally.
Thank you. Yeah. If this happens to you.
That's funny that you guys had that conversation, because I had the same conversation with the girl I live with. But it's like not about each other.
That's not something they thought about.
Yeah.
It's one thing like a natural disaster, but something like this where there is the human uncertainty to it of like, what will these people do? And yeah.
Yikes.
I don't know. That's
so scary, and scary that probably still happens.
Yeah, I meant to look up and research if this was still a common thing, because I was Rachel and I were also talking that they show us all these great tactics, like, were people going to watch this movie and be like, well, now I know.
Yeah, now yeah. I know how to fend off the... They must... Yeah, they probably equip the ships differently now.
Yeah, I have no idea what the new...
Because why do they even want the crew? They want the crew so they can take the entire boat
to Somalia? They want ransom. They hold the crew, threaten to take the ship into their waters, and then... demand. That's why they get excited that they're Americans, because they think that they have more money and will pay out.
Oh.
So I think they said they want like $10 million or something.
Yeah.
And they think that they'll just get that paid out and then they'll get in lifeboat or whatever and be on their way. Just sort of, that's the deal.
Shit, man.
And that, I see this thing here that says this is the first American cargo ship to be hijacked in 200 years.
Whoa.
So that must be why it's so high profile.
Yeah.
Outside of what Captain Phillips pulled off.
Shit.
So when he goes to get on the ship and we see him like checking stuff.
Yeah.
That's like not quite up to code. And then he tells people later, he's like, go fix it. So they do.
For the most part. He's like worried from the get-go.
Yeah.
About pirates.
Because I think, wasn't there like a news story that was like, pirate traffic's high or something?
Yes.
So he's a little bit, he's already like on edge. I'd be curious to know, I'm intrigued to read the book to know what if is fictionalized.
That actually happened.
Yeah.
So there was a New York Post article. Did you see this?
No.
That came out probably around the same time as the movie was released, where anonymous members of the crew basically said that the movie was like fictionalized. It was like a bad representation of what happened, and that they made Captain Phillips out to be way more of a hero than he actually was. Yeah. Like there was like a big expose on Captain Phillips.
I guess that kind of makes. I mean, he basically is. Perfect in the movie.
Yeah, he's like incredibly intelligent, always has like all this foresight to like but they were anonymous complaints, and then Shane,
only 20 crew members, you could probably pick three people.
Yeah. But the guy who was like the co-captain, remember Shane, the one who like ran and fixed the hose in the movie?
Yeah.
That's a real guy, obviously, and he said that he felt like 85% of the movie was like accurate.
Yeah.
Was the statement that I read from him. So they obviously like they editorialize a little bit to make the story. Like I doubt them running maybe they didn't even run those drills, but I doubt it happened. And then like during the drill, you notice two people coming towards your boat. Like that timing is a little.
I was surprised. I had forgotten how fast it happens.
Oh, me in too. Terms of,
I thought we had more build up.
And it's then literally it's 20 happening. Minutes into the movie.
Which I think is good, because then you spend the next 2 hours and 15 minutes total just sort of on the edge of your seat.
I felt like the stuff in the lifeboat was a little too long.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens.
I thought that the first time I saw it too, and I still agree. And I wondered if it's intentional in the way that he's stuck there for, 36 hours or something? If we're supposed to feel stuck there too.
Yeah.
But there isn't a lot happening that feels like we're propelling things forward. So part of me is like, oh, maybe that was intentional. The other part of me is like, but it's also, I was a little bit bored.
Because like, what are we getting from that? It's not even like we get, something I do feel like I was missing, and maybe I just missed it, was information from the Navy or the Coast Guard to say like, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because they would say things like, make sure you're sitting in the same seat. And, like, we know in hindsight that's because they wanted to get, like, the perfect shot and make sure that he wouldn't be harmed. But, like, they never once even, like, even with, like, the elders coming and saying, like, I think we can presume that that was fake and was never happening. But it would have been nice to hear them strategizing. Do you think?
Or? Yeah, I walk a line where I almost wish it never left Captain Phillips. That, or maybe cut to the crew, because I think the crew sort of having to do their own thing was really interesting. But it should have never left the ship, because they show us a little bit of the Navy and sort of what's happening behind the scenes. But then, like you said, not enough. We keep learning things weirdly, like how we're chosen to learn things. Almost we are as much in the dark as he is.
Right.
We know what he says and what the crew knows and says, but then the rest of it is... Because then it would make stuff like the reveal of the Navy be kind of this monumental thing.
Yeah.
Or like, oh my gosh, they're here. And then you realize, well, what can they do? So you're sort of with... Because I think moments where, like, he says, like, and I'm in seat 15, stuff like that, where you're like, oh, yeah, that makes... Okay.
That's why he's saying that.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, one, like, pretty valuable piece of information we get is that the hostage negotiator has to get things done before the Navy SEAL team gets there, because otherwise the SEAL team will, like...
they take jurisdiction or something?
Well, yeah, but I think that they're basically saying, like, that boat's not going to Somalia no matter what. Oh. Like, even if Captain Phillips is not recovered, like, we're going to shoot down that boat.
Yeah.
So, but Captain Phillips comes to that conclusion, like, he realizes that.
Yeah.
And I almost think it would have more impact, because he even tries to tell them, like, you're... They would rather sink these boats than get... Than have
he tells him a few times.
Yeah.
Where he's like, this isn't a win. Like, you have to make a decision here because...
Which is a big moment for Captain Phillips, because he's also realizing that he's, like, essentially expendable.
Yeah.
In the name of, like... What is that? Like, patriotism? Of, like, we don't negotiate with...
But they have to know that they're doing all of this work to get him back. That there's something there.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I do feel like in lesser hands or with like a lesser script, you would have like a pretty standard action thriller, even with the real life connotations. And I think Paul Greengrass tries, and then it was written by Billy Ray. They both try and really elevate it to be more than just a standard kind of blockbuster. Because I feel like we get something in this vein once a year, like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get to the other Captain, or Sully.
Yeah.
Another, like, real-life type of thing. Mm-hmm. So when one stands out, because I'm the same thing, like, I'm not a big fan of biopics.
Right.
So when they do something really interesting, like the Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, stuff like something like that,
like a new
they really twist. Stand out, where I was like, oh, they had something interesting to say besides just retelling this.
Yeah. It's quite an enjoyable movie to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, let's... Well, do you have something that you want to bring up?
Well, stuff... I'm trying to see what stuff I wrote down. Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about in terms of going into Beyond Story to actors was the person who played...
Musa?
Musa. Who... This was his first role. And I'm going to... I think it's Barkhad Abdi, I think got an Oscar nomination for it.
Supporting actor, yeah.
And he hasn't done much... else, which is a real bummer. He was in Good Time with Robert Pattinson.
Oh.
But he is, like, unbelievable.
So, and I think he's, like, he wasn't even, like, an actor. It wasn't, like, he was waiting for his big... He was just, like, some dude.
He just owns the screen.
Incredible. Like...
It's become a meme, but the look at me, I'm the captain now thing.
And you know what I was thinking?
It's kind of horrifying.
It is. I think the intensity of that line and that phrase is, like, so diminished now because of the fact that it's a meme and people kind of mocking it, and people kind of say, like, look at I'm the captain now, and it's like, that's like not how he says it. Says it so, like,
it strips all of the, like, power we thought Captain Phillips has away.
It's very incredible. It's like, oh my god, it's so good. I was so impressed, obviously, as everybody was, by this guy's portrayal. Really,
especially a new actor with Tom Hanks
held his own.
And feel they all. I actually thought all of the supporting cast on from the crew to the, I think the military was the least interesting because they didn't have a lot to do. They said to say things that sounded important.
Yeah.
but I mean, the entire sequence with the crew in the engine room hiding.
Yeah.
And everyone searching the ship. They're sort of, each pirate has a very distinct personality. Like, one's the young one who's so poor that he doesn't have shoes.
Yeah.
One's sort of kind of this rage-induced... I don't think we learn a lot about his backstory, but we can tell from everything we've seen from...
Yeah.
From where they're from, that clearly not living a life they enjoy. So his rage is sort of... You know why he's mad.
Is misplaced, yeah.
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 And then Tom, obviously. This is one of my favorite performances, mostly because if we jump ahead, just to cut to the chase, he's ultimately rescued because they take Musa off the boat, telling him that the elders
are going to keep negotiating.
And then the other three are shot after Captain Phillips makes one last sort of escape attempt that fails, and they tie him up, and you don't know what they're going to do to him. It's obviously shot to be very tense, but there's not a really clear thing that they're going to shoot him or what they're going to do, but he's clearly just kind of given up. He's tried to write, like, a letter to his family, but the Navy SEALs end up shooting the other pirates. And then from that moment, there's like that part where Tom Hanks, Captain Phillips, is screaming, but it's like he's just like covered in blood and screaming, and it's horror and relief, and it's mixed, and it like haunts. It like, I want to say when I saw it in theaters, it gave me a nightmare.
Okay.
Just because he's, I don't know where you go as an actor in that headspace to get like the mix of relief and absolute terror, where you're just like shutting down. And those, because Tom Hanks is famous for yelling, as we've talked many times, and this is like the saddest connotation of
like
it.
Like a guttural, like the kind of, I don't think that I would be able to manufacture that kind of scream.
And they just don't cut away, you just watch it for like too long.
And you just get it. Like,
yeah.
And they also, I think they did some pretty smart stuff in the actual scene too, where they line it up, you start to realize what's about to happen, the Navy guy executes it, they all fucking get shot, and then it goes silent. Like, there's no music, there's no anything, and it's just Tom being like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Because he, oh my fucking God.
He's heard the shots, and then he's just been sprayed with something. Because he's blindfolded, we should mention that.
Incredible. Yeah. And then it's just from then on to the end of the movie is like, it's a masterclass in acting.
Yeah, that scene is insane. It always makes me cry.
I cried, yeah.
He's just like...
And I remember sobbing in the theaters. It's astounding.
It's the last 5-10 minutes is the most insane Tom Hanks performance in terms of just pure... Because he says next to nothing. It is just pure, like, his eyes and... They take him... They get him on the Navy ship and they take him to the medical. They take him... He goes to the medic to be checked out. And he just, like, can't... He's in such shock that he, like, can't compete what they're saying. And, like, his eyes are darting around the room in the way he's just trying to take things in, but struggling and breathing, and it's wild. And I read there was, a fun fact that they... Okay. The medics were real.
Yeah, and they hadn't been prepped.
Yeah. So they just treat him like a thing. And it makes sense, because he looks like a man that is actively, losing control. Yeah.
Well, it's also kind of interesting, because... Not interesting. I feel like I say that word too much. She says something like, is all this blood yours? Is that all from the cut on your head? And like, you would think that someone who's like in this situation would be prepped on what the circumstances are. So it is kind of interesting that she asked that. But
there's gotta be reason. I don't know if there's like psychological reasoning for that, of like getting them to talk and think about themselves
and what happened.
Gets you out of the headspace.
It's so fascinating to me. There's just like all these people in this world just like doing their jobs, man.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own little freaking job.
That was another comment Rachel made, where she was like, I do whatever for a living, and like these people's day job is they just like followed people into the sea to save someone who was held hostage.
Yeah, it really puts things in perspective, right?
Yeah, I can't I think the movie's great, but it's all worth it. If it was bad, it would be worth it for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it is interesting to me that Tom didn't get a nomination for this.
It's wild.
I was so sure that he did.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up and he didn't. And who won that year? It was like, not Wolf of Wall Street. What's the other one? Dallas Buyers Club, maybe?
Oh, did McConaughey win that year?
Yeah, I think he won that year. Yeah, it's I do feel similarly to you that this is one of Tom Hanks's best performances.
Because it's sort of we're in that part of his career where he's doing a lot of real life stuff, and he's doing it's not interesting, because he's always done something really interesting with the role, but it's sort of like I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
But this is sort of takes that, like it's the exact Tom Hanks role of like American Hero, kind of this dad leadership, because I think Tom Hanks just naturally exudes the leadership quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just him in pop culture, but also in his movie stuff. So this kind of culmination of it in this weird, what could be from a surface level look like an action movie, this kind of docudrama of a real life event where he has to be a hero. That doesn't always, I think the biggest thing this does correctly is it doesn't feel like it's this sort of macho, pro-American, which it could be. Like, I feel like Clint Eastwood direct, if he were to direct this, it would feel, there's like a certain way it would feel about like how we're looking at, this is a movie about patriots and this and that. But instead they take it, I think, knowing that they're making something that is far more complicated.
Yeah.
I had read a review, I had had a review pulled up by a critic that I love named David Ehrlich. And he wrote that I'm just going to read this section. He said that Ray and Greengrass both understand that this isn't a film about how these men will escape from one situation. It's a film about how they'll always be victims of another. He also writes that one of the pirates is a 16-year-old kid who is part of the freighter, but he's barefoot because he can't afford sandals. Meanwhile, the sniper who has the kid in the sights at the end of the movie with his night vision goggles arrives on the scene by parachuting from a stealth fighter. This isn't David versus Goliath. This is Washington Generals versus the Harlem Globetrotters. And I think that's a really interesting sort of look about... I think I would not like this movie the same if it were sort of this pro, kind of like, look what America did.
Look at how we can tries to make it complicated. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Which is, I think, always interesting when something with a blockbuster kind of scale gets to do that. Because I think a lot of times it does just kind of fall into there's a very clear view. You don't have to ask a lot of questions because it's just kind of handed to you. And this doesn't always fully commit to that, but it does at least make you have to have conversations almost.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want to give you a clear answer. Because the easiest thing is pirates bad, cargo ship good.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
Not that easy.
If there's anything I've learned in the many years of therapy that I've attended is that thinking things like black and white like that is a cognitive distortion. World doesn't work like that.
And bad storytelling.
Yeah.
On that level. True, I guess. You have the honest, sincere answer, and I have like, bad storytelling.
It is, yeah, because nothing is so black and white.
Yeah.
And if it was, things would be a lot different.
And that, it also just makes, I don't know, that there's, in the realm of movies, so much more interesting to have to like dive into these characters, and because a black and white villain does nothing, but if it's someone that you can relate to, there's part of you that might find that scary, or there's like a pity or empathy portion where you're like, what, why do I relate to this, how do they get in this circumstance? It's just so much more,
yeah,
because you can root for someone the whole time, but if you're also like, but you know, There's that heartbreaking moment where he, on the ship toward the end, where he's like, just, to the kid, he's like, just put up the flag. Just put up your white flag. Like, this ends, you're going to die. Like, put up the flag. And, because if they kill him, they die. But if they don't, he knows at this point that they die.
Yeah.
And we didn't really talk about it, but there's moments of sort of the humanity that he shares with the people who have kidnapped him. He tries to help kid with his foot. He offers to do Musa's injured hand. To like just to be, I think part of it is a survival thing of like, well, if I'm nice, they're gonna see me a different way, but also like a genuine human empathy. Yeah. I think is what they're trying to showcase then.
Right, and Musa's like internal struggle of like, I do want this help. I kind of like this guy.
Yeah, but like, what can he do?
But also, I have to do this to prove that I can or whatever his.
Like he can't just go back.
Yeah,
because his fate would likely be the same.
There's my no way out for this guy. Yeah. You know, one thing I didn't like was that one, there was much towards the end where Musa had a gun to Captain Phillips's head, and they were saying like, I'm gonna put him in the suit as a body bag or something, all that stuff, and Tom Hanks, Captain Phillips, screams, you're not just a fisherman a few times, and that's supposed to be like the thing that makes him like stop and think, when I just thought that was kind of like a weak.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what that was either.
They kind of like touched on that a few times. Like he says that they're fishermen and he's like, oh, that's what you guys do. And he's like, well, there's no more fish left because you guys keep coming into our waters. But
I think it was almost like the ease at which he turned into a potential killing machine.
Yeah.
Or just this snap of like, I'll do it. He seemed to have no sort of second thought. He's like, this has to happen.
Yeah.
So I think he's just trying to call him out on that, to like question his humanity maybe.
Yeah.
Or his morals.
And like, you're more than, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the only part that I was like, And then also there's two or three instances that I can think of where they'll repeat a line and it's supposed to like mean more when he says it again.
Yeah.
Like, maybe for you, Irish. Maybe for you. Like, it's like, people don't really talk like that.
The only repeated thing I liked was, I think the wife says it at the beginning, or he says it to the wife, like, everything's going to be okay. One of them says that to each other. I'm pretty sure. I might be making that up. And then Musa repeats that multiple times.
Like,
everything's going to be okay, Irish.
And that's different than what I'm talking about, where it just seems kind of like, you just like repeat shit for impact and it's like lazy. But I mean, whatever, I haven't written a movie, so could argue that I'm also lazy. Yeah. Great movie.
It is. It's stressful. I think I said my issues are mostly in I wish we spent all of our time with from Captain Phillips' viewpoint.
Yeah.
I think that's effective. Yeah. And maybe with the crew, but the U.S. Navy stuff to me detracted. Because, as you said, they'd show some stuff and then don't show other stuff. And it kind of kept it kept a clock on things that I was already feeling. And it would just remind me that that was...
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked being stuck in the summer, in the lifeboat, and not being able to leave, I think would have made it even more tense.
Because
I think it could have been a little bit shorter then. Because if you never get to get out of there, you only get fresh air when he gets fresh air. But then you cut to the ship and you sort of feel... And I guess you get the juxtaposition of these two worlds, but... Okay,
yeah.
I think I would have liked them.
I also feel like trapped. Him jumping off the boat, I came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see him consider doing that more before he just did it.
Like a desperation. Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah. But maybe they were doing that and just didn't feel like enough. Yeah. Compared to everything else that they showed. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, which of these, like, Tom Hanks disaster movies, which situation would you rather be in? So, let's think of... There's this one. Pirates on a ship in Africa.
Castaway.
Castaway. I don't know. What's... the terminal?
Oh, the terminal, for sure.
Yeah, I'll take the terminal.
What other disasters is this, man? I mean, Apollo 11?
Apollo 11.
Or 13?
Yeah. I always mix this up. It's 13.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, they all sound very unpleasant.
They all do.
Do we have the same outcome? I just have to live through it?
Yeah, you just have to live through it. Or...
Oh, what a awful... The one I would not choose would be Da Vinci Code.
Oh.
And in my disaster movie, I'm just having to watch that.
That's the, over and over and over and over. That's the scenario you have to escape from. That's fair. I fucking get rid of space, man. I would not ever do that.
I would love space, I think.
If Castaway
That type of disaster seems so hopeless that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if Castaway didn't have the plane crash in the beginning, I would be down for it. Not down for it, but like...
There's some sort of, like... Maybe it's just... Whatever fake masculinity I'm making up, where I'm like, I could maybe survive that. Like, I'm like, that. A lot of that's on me.
Right, because I have only me to count on.
Yeah. I could live off the land. But it's the same in this, where I'm like, I think I could do... I'm like, I'd have to outsmart these people who are desperate and...
With those huge machine guns, man? Yeah. I don't know.
Wow, what an awful question.
Yeah.
I feel like my gut instinct would say Castaway. Because of that, I'd be like, I could maybe survive.
Yeah, the odds are based more in on your favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, if the goal is to get off the island, though, like, I could just live on the island.
Yeah.
Or he was running out of food. I don't remember.
Yeah, none of these... I mean, they all end well for him, but none of them get there well.
I'm excited to see Sully, because I know it's, like, same vein, but I've never seen it. Whenever we watch that...
It's coming up. Mm. We're getting there. I don't know. I'm going to say Castaway.
Okay.
What would you say?
Castaway.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall, fucking incredible movie. Really holds up to a rewatch, too. I mean...
Yeah, I think I liked it. I rated it higher than I did the first time I watched it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I was a little too critical the first time.
Okay.
And this time I was just, like, taken in with the craft of it, where I was like, wow, this is insanely effective.
And it's fun watching it with someone who'd never seen it,
too,
because also Rachel sounds like she was being really funny while she was watching it. Cute. Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, watch. Captain Phillips, two toms up. Two toms up.
I do feel, that was a nice treat after Cloud Atlas.
Yes. From what I remember of Cloud Atlas. Chaos. Since we did that last time.
This is just like linear. I get it.
Yeah. Cloud Atlas was wild in a different way.
Totally.
I also recommend Cloud Atlas because you just need to see it.
Yeah, it is an experience.
You need to see it to have an opinion. You can't just base it on the review. That's all movies, but especially that.
Okay. Well, is it maybe time for another segment?
Yes.
It's time for Hank's Happenings.
I forgot what segment.
I know. I'm glad you actually remembered for the first time. I normally always forget.
There's great things happening.
So much. I mean, the biggest, are we thinking of the same one, the Cecil B. DeMille or whatever it was at the Globes? Holy shit.
Our boy.
That was a treat. That's nice. Just nice. So the whole Golden Globes was kind of fun. That happened a couple weeks, a week ago, our time. So 2 or 3 weeks, no, a while, whatever, like a month ago, when this episode comes out. Tom Hanks was like front and center, and he kind of, he alluded later on that he was like just totally messed up on cold medicine, but he was giving like meme after meme, like reaction to,
he's not to Gervais.
Gervais. Yeah. He just didn't seem to get it. I didn't, there was almost a few points during where I was like, come on, just laugh at this. Like, come on.
That was kind of the same way around. I was like, what are you doing? Okay.
Tom, we like you. Yeah. Don't ruin this.
But that speech.
Oh my God. So who introduced him? Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
I mean, and she had an unfortunate, she had the unfortunate duty of following, oh my God, what is her name? The one who presented Ellen's award.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Kate McKinnon?
Kate McKinnon. Yeah. Her speech was incredible. Yeah. And you can't really like, Tom Hanks is an incredible performer and a gift to the industry, but like, not in the way that Kate McKinnon was saying Ellen, like, impacted her, like, ability to, like, see her own worth as, like, an LGBTQ-identifying person. Like, not the same, but quite a sweet story.
Yeah, this was just, like, a very, the most dad speech, in the best way.
Yeah.
Like, choked up about his family.
Oh, my God, he starts crying. I love that. I will never get sick of... And it could all be so manufactured and so intentional, but I still just eat that shit up. I am looking forward to the day that I get to have a family like that.
Yeah. And thank them when you win an award.
Yeah, or just like to be so grateful and appreciative of like such a simple thing, like just being loved is like just so existing. Beautiful. Yeah. He has so many things he could brag about and whatever, and I get it. He's at an award ceremony, so it's all relative, but
you also like for a minute or two you have like this platform to say whatever you want, and people are very specific what they choose, so him devoting the first chunk of it to family and like seeming visibly shaken by it, it's very cool. You don't see that very much sometimes. Sometimes want a little bit of just a little shot in the heart,
a little heart. Yeah,
got that in Little Women.
Okay. There was also something kind of funny, this isn't totally Tom Hanks related, but at the same Globes, Chet Hanks. What the fuck, man? He's so confusing to me. He was doing some kind of like accent, some kind of like island accent that just made people very confused.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. And I guess Rita made it. Oh, and also there was a thing with Rita at the Globes. Did you see that?
No.
She tweeted like 5 or 6 times, like something crazy, like a large amount about how her hair and makeup person was late. And she was tweeting, like, every hour, like, we booked this person in September. They're still not here. She's like, it's an hour and a half past, and my makeup person still isn't here. Like, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw someone, like, screen capped it and wrote, like, I would not want to be Rita Wilson's hair and makeup artist today. No one's having a worse day than this person who's getting blasted on the internet.
I went on a string of, like, people were posting like their Tom Hanks stories, more Tom Hanks stories, and there were some really cute ones.
Really?
For talking about like this guy, I forgot where he was at, but his car broke down. It was pouring rain, and I want to say he had his wife or like pregnant wife. I might be adding that, but he's pulled over and was like trying to deal with it, and like didn't have a flashlight, and it was a whole thing. And someone pulled over to help him, and like did his thing and like helped him out, and then he like shook his hand and he realized it was Tom Hanks. Ugh. Who just like pulled over, like never said a thing, just like
just being a good Samaritan, helped him change his hair
and they went on their way. And some other story of Tom Hanks ran into some, I should have prepped better. They ran into some group that was doing something that was like celebrity sightings, and he was like, you're going to see a bigger celebrity.
Oh yeah, yeah. He like rolls the window down or something and he sees the tour bus. Yeah. I saw that. What a cutie.
And a friend of ours was working I think it was Netflix or whatever company was doing the elevator photos on Instagram. It was like the slow motion elevator shots. And so she got to meet like Rita Wilson and Chet and I think it was Lulu Wong and Awkwafina came and did one together. So she was like posting about that. Oh, I'm like, that was really cool.
What I wouldn't give to just like have a conversation with Chet Hanks.
Yeah. Maybe. Chet, if you're listening, come on
the podcast. Yeah, I'm sure he listens to podcasts about his dad. Fascinating. That whole family is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Is that it? What's our next movie?
Our next movie, I was ready this week. Oh, wow. Saving Mr. Banks is next.
Oh, which I've never seen. Yeah.
I did just rewatch, I guess it was last year, but I watched Mary Poppins with my mother, and then I went to see Mary Poppins 2, which I didn't really
the
like.
The new one. Yeah, I didn't see it.
But I've never seen Saving Mr. Banks, so I'm excited about that.
Do you think I should watch Mary Poppins before I see Saving Mr. Banks?
I think you should. Do you have Disney Plus?
Yeah.
You should. I think you should.
Okay.
Well, and I've been told that. I've seen it was double in Chicago when this came out. It was double featured.
Okay.
Because I think it ties directly into it.
It's been a minute since I've seen Mary Poppins too.
It's very long.
Yeah. I forgot. I loved, love it. Yeah. I love Julie Andrews.
And then we do Bridge of Spies.
Oh hell yeah!
And then there's this movie that I think he might be just a cameo in. I'll double check. It's called Ithaca. It's directed by...
Oh, that's
by
Meg Ryan's. Yeah. He's just a bit part in
okay.
that.
Okay. So we probably won't do that. Well, the same Mr. Banks, Bridge of Spies, A Hologram for the King, Sully, oh. Inferno.
Whoa, Inferno came out that far away?
Yeah. Then The Circle.
I'm excited to see The Circle.
Never seen it.
Me too.
And then we're back where it... Then we've caught up.
Oh.
Then it's the Post and Toy Story 4 before they narrow it. But we get three... Tom Hanks movies this year, Greyhound, Bios, and News of the World, which is directed by the same by Paul Greengrass, who did Captain Phillips. So they're reunited for a movie for Christmas this year.
Well, isn't that nice?
So we get some stuff.
It's going to be a good year for Tom Hanks and for us.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we can wrap it up.
Yeah.
Overall thoughts on the movie?
It's a good movie.
I give it 5 stars. You give good it 2 thumbs up.
2 thumbs. I think I give it 3.5 out of 5, maybe 4.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's great. See it. Check it out. Captain Phillips Blu-ray DVD combo pack.
Did you watch it on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I live my life on Blu-ray, unless I don't own it.
Well, as always, if you're interested in continuing the conversation, if you've got thoughts on Captain Phillips, if you've got thoughts on Blu-rays, if you've got thoughts on the Golden Globes,
I hate myself.
you can find us on social media. We've got a Facebook group. We've got a Twitter. We've got a SoundCloud. We've got Instagram. I got logged out of all of those accounts. I need to log back in. I haven't updated
2020,
them.
We're picking up the pace.
I'm so sorry. I say this every episode. I got a new phone and I'm not logged into any of my shit. And it's too hard to that look is it annoying. Up. But we've got a handle for that that's pretty universal.
Pod Hanks Tomcast.
Yeah, which is clever.
I think our Facebook's back up now. We lost it for a while.
That was weird.
We were flagged as an impersonator. And I had to email Facebook and be like, we're clearly a thing.
A successful podcast with dozens of listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they thought that we were pretending to be Tom Hanks?
I think so. I was like, did you listen to our podcast?
Rude.
We don't sound like
Todd Hanks.
Tom Hanks at all. Oh, boy.
Oh, thank you for doing that. I saw the email, but then no problem. I just was like...
I love to fight Facebook.
Yeah, take them down, man.
Oh, I did it twice, but it was fun.
Yeah, it's almost akin to being captured by Somali pirates.
Yeah.
The same rush, I understand.
Captain Daniel at my... mechanical keyboard.
No, it wouldn't be Captain Daniel. It would be Captain.
Oh, I'm Reverend
Ott.
Because I'm a. Oh, you're right, Reverend Ott.
Oh, but you're.
Because I'm an officiant. I can marry people in this state. So.
That's very.
And I chose
exciting.
The title Reverend. No one will call me it though.
Yeah.
Unimportant. I'm wasting time. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Where are you on the internet?
Not nowhere, man. I don't know. I don't update any of my shit anymore.
That's fine. But I don't either.
My name's Josie.
My. Daniel.
We're just two fans of Pod Tom Hanks.
We're just losing our minds.
Still doing this, and it's great.
20 new decade.
That's nuts.
To a decade of Tom.
And we've been doing the show for 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. But I'm sure we talked about that in a previous episode. Everything's a blur.
Wild.
Time
is
a flat circle.
Tom is a flat circle.
We've also got a website.
Oh, yeah.
TalkinTom.com. That's talking without the G. That's it.
That's that.
Hanks.
Oh, Hanks for listening.